What's good? What's good? We are back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, episode 143. I totally love my intro music. I really do. It signifies definitely what I'm about. You know, it definitely represents me to the fullest. My kind of hip hop. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. Don't forget the video version of this podcast goes to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble. And we also stream it live on three of the Twitter accounts, Twitter at Paul P Podcast, Twitter at Promo Palace LLC, and Twitter at Paul W Pickett. Also, the audio version will be distributed through Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Before we get started, let's give you a word from one of our sponsors.
Me and my team, whenever we link up, they wanna be drink up. We sit down and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the boss and I'm not talking drink pops. So tell the bartender that tend to the bar to please pass me a big cup of. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting, listen, no, they're waiting for that tropical twist. That'll kick your taste buds. Now taste up. Now I insist it's the drizzle.
It's the Dizzle. Yes, that was Chip Fu from Fu Schnickens doing the Dizzle brand very own commercial. And at the end, that was the creator of Dizzle, Mike Dizzle. Check out DizzleBrand.com. Do you Dizzle? Yes, I Dizzle. Dizzle is a mixture of agave tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Just throw it on ice. The colder it gets, the better it gets. Check them out, DizzleBrand.com. Get the merch. You got the Dizzle hats, the Dizzle t-shirts, the Dizzle hoodies. Just go to DizzleBrand.com and click on store. Also, if you're 21 and over and you want to order your very own bottle of Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur, go to DizzleBrand.com, click on our locations, click on one of the top three links, and you can order your very own bottle or bottles of DizzleBrand.com. 21 and older, shipping and handling is included. First things first, last night started the NBA conference finals. You got the Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals. Last night was Eastern Conference. I didn't watch all of the game. I watched the first half of the game. And I'm not going to lie, I thought Boston was going to win. I mean, Boston looked like they had the game in control. Things in control showed up. They did their thing, but Robert Williams did his thing. Peyton Pritchard. But they were still out of negatives, man. Negative eight. Jason Tatum, 29.6 assists, 8 rebounds, 4 steals, and a block. And he was still negative eight. He was 2 for 9 for threes, 10 for 21. Negative 14 for Grant Williams, who only shot 2 3-pointers this time. 18 from Robert Williams, along with 9 rebounds and 1 assist and 2 blocks. He was the only one that was a plus 5. Jaylen Brown was a negative 10 with 24 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. You got 3 points out of Derek Wright. And 4 assists, negative 11, 8 out of Daniel Theis. Peyton Pritchard was a negative 1 with 18 points, 4 assists off the bench. But Miami just had more well-balanced and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy motherfucking buckets. Excuse my French, but this is an unfiltered podcast. If you don't like cussing, don't listen to this podcast. Jimmy Butler was plus 25 with 41 points. On 2 turnovers, 3 blocks, 4 steals, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. He did it all, man. Jimmy buckets. Then PJ Tucker gave you 5, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. He was a plus 12. Bam Adebayo was a negative. You had 2 players that were negatives. Bam Adebayo, Max Strauss. Max Strauss definitely was struggling when I was watching. Bam Adebayo gave you 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 blocks. But he should have had a lot more rebounds for the center. But I got mad love for Bam. Bam is from North Carolina. Go on, raise up. Max Strauss, 11 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds. Gabe Vincent was a plus 23 with 17, 3 blocks, 3 assists, and 2 rebounds on 50% shooting, 42% from the 3. And Tyler Hero played hero ball, 18 points, plus 5 with 3 assists, 1 steal, and 8 rebounds. I'm a big fan of Tyler Hero. Big fan of Tyler Hero. And that's the thing, man. Kentucky always puts out good pro players. Tyrese Maxey starting to ball out. Tyler Hero, 6-man of the year. They've always put out good players, man. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And that's another thing. About to go over the draft order from last night. And first, I'm going to give you my pick for tonight's game winner. A lot of people count Dallas out. I have to agree with Jay Will that Luka Doncic is the best player left with the four teams that's left. I even know what Jimmy Butler did last night. He plays both ends of the floor. Jimmy Butler can't facilitate an offense the way Luka can. He can't slow it down. Like, that's the thing. Luka just the closest thing I've seen since LeBron. He really is. Of just really slowing things down and just getting his whenever he wants to get his. All right, let's go to the draft, last night's draft. And, of course, Magic won the lottery. The number one pick. But, like, that's like Magic got the – this lottery is pretty weak to me, man. This draft lottery is pretty weak to me. It really is. It really is. Orlando has been picking guards. I mean, they just got Jalen Suggs, and it's last known that he's going to be much of anything. I don't know, man. Like, this draft is – I think really who benefits most in this draft is probably Houston and OKC at number 2 and 3 because, like, we don't know who's going number one, man. If I'm Orlando, I'm taking Chet Holmgren. I'm not taking taking Chet Holmgren or Paolo because of their size. I'm taking two of the bigger ones. But this is the draft order. Orlando got number one. OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder got number 2. Houston Rockets got number 3. And that's the thing. Even if Paolo falls down there, they still got Jalen Green and him. That's something to build on. I like where the Houston Rockets are going. I really do. And OKC, I like where they're going. They just got Josh Giddey last pick in the draft, and he looks like he's going to be a very good player. But like I said, Orlando, I just don't – there's nobody in Orlando that shows me that they're a legit all-star, not even Cole Anthony. I don't care if he played for Carolina Tar Heels, which he's one of the biggest disappointing Tar Heels ever. A complete one and done and didn't do much for Carolina. He did more in the pros than he did at Carolina. But they don't got a legit guy. OKC's got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey. I mean, like, if they get Paolo or any of the top three, they get any of the top three players, they're good to go. Same thing with Houston Rockets. Sacramento's at number 4. I don't know what that does for them. Sacramento's still – I'm really confused with Sacramento. Detroit got number 5. I'm pretty sure they wish they would have had a higher pick. But they got Cade Cunningham, and Cade Cunningham is better than anything on Sacramento right now. I can tell you that much. Indiana's got a number 6 pick, and I like where Indiana's going. I think the Portland at number 7. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like – Portland, I mean, they got Dame Lillard kind of late, but they haven't been that great of a drafter. I'm really confused what Portland's going to do. Number 8, Pelicans. Pelicans could trade that away. They could trade that away for a player, man, because they got As long as they got Zion come back healthy, they got Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum. If I'm Pelicans, I trade that pick away for a veteran player. San Antonio at 9, Wizards at 10, Knicks at 11. OKC's got the 12th pick too, which that's the thing. OKC could get two real good players in this draft to help them. They could get a player to help them next year and a player that can help them 2 years later. My Charlotte Hornets got number 13 and Cavs got number 14. For Charlotte, man, it sucks. We're always like, we're always not good enough to make the playoffs, but too good to make a top five pick. And typically, it's always usually the top three picks that only really matter. Once you get past top three, they're all gambles. I mean, it's all a gamble, you know. It really is. And if I'm Charlotte, I'm drafting the best big man available at 13. That's what I'm doing. Best big man. Cleveland is good. Oh, they're in a good position. They could get a nice young player that could help them down the line. And they'll probably be in the playoffs next year. If they're healthy, they're in the playoffs next year. Jared Allen doesn't get hurt. Cleveland's in the playoffs. Oh, excuse me. Knicks at 11. I don't know what. Knicks is Washington at 10. I don't know. Like that. San Antonio at 9. Like, they better hope there's just some breakout players. And San Antonio usually drafts pretty well. So, but that's your top 14 lottery picks. I know you also got New Orleans got the 15th pick to Charlotte. So Charlotte has actually got two of the top 15. We need to get big men. Big men, big men. We need the best power forward and the best center available at the 13th and the 15th pick. And maybe we could bundle the 13th and 15th and move up. Maybe we could bundle, like, maybe the Lakers. Well, no, the Lakers, is that pick goes to New Orleans, which maybe New Orleans doesn't want that pick. Maybe New Orleans we could trade the 15th and the 13th for the 8th. Maybe we could do that if we're Charlotte. And I think there's a lot of teams that might be going after this New Orleans pick. New Orleans definitely might be willing to trade that, because I'm just convinced that New Orleans has their core three players. And they still got Jackson Hayes and Steven Adams and Devontae Graham. They got a lot of assets to work with. They could trade Devontae Graham and that pick. And so who knows? Anybody else might be wanting to move up. Who knows? I mean, there's no telling. But I'm thinking Charlotte could package up those two picks that they got at 13 and 15. You got Atlanta at 16, Brooklyn at 17, but it goes to Houston, Chicago at 18th, Minnesota 19th, Toronto at 20th, but it goes to San Antonio. So San Antonio's got two top 20 picks. And maybe they want to bundle their picks up to try to move up. Who knows? Then you got Denver at 21, Utah at 22, but that goes to Memphis. Philadelphia at 23, Milwaukee at 24, Boston at 25, but it goes to San Antonio. San Antonio literally got three picks in the top 25. They might be able to package those up and move up. If I'm San Antonio, I'm trading the 9, the 25th, the 20th, and the 9th to try to move up to, like, 5 or 6 or something. They could package those three together and move up if they want to move up. Who knows? And San Antonio's not known for making splashes like that. So you got Dallas at 26, Miami 27, Golden State at 28, 29, Memphis, and 30 to Phoenix, which goes to OKC. So OKC has three of the top 30 picks as well. Yep. So that's that. That's that. Some teams could definitely make some moves, make some splashes. see what they got going on. All right, before I get into these next, these reacts on these TikToks, let's get into a word from another one of our sponsors.
Are you a musician looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pull promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
Thank you. Thank you. That was the spokesperson for Promo Palace LLC at promopalace.biz. Of course, I am the owner. Any marketing promotions, please go to promopalace.biz. We do press releases, SEO, social media marketing, playlist pitching, blog placements, TikTok influencers, Instagram influencers, and much, much more. Need marketing promotion for your music, product, brand, or your service, please check out promopalace.biz. All right, I'm going to get into and I'm going to react to these videos I've seen. I'm going to start downloading these videos off of Libs and TikTok, and I'm going to start reacting to them. I know a lot of people are, but I'm going to give my reaction. My reaction is a little bit more unfiltered and a little bit more authentic, I think. But let's get into it.
Investigation into three Keel middle school students has been launched.
The school district has filed a Title IX complaint accusing the students of using incorrect pronouns while addressing another student. Fox 11's Monique Lopez spoke with the parent of one of the students in this Project Education report.
I received a phone call from the principal over at the elementary school forewarning me, letting me know that I was going to be receiving an email with sexual harassment allegations against my son.
Rosemary Rabideau's 13-year-old son, Braden, is one of the three 8th-grade Keel Middle School students accused of sexual harassment, something she disputes.
He said he's being allegedly charged with sexual harassment for not using proper pronouns. I thought it wasn't real. I thought this has got to be a gag, a joke. One has nothing to do with the other.
According to the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL, now defending the accused students, in March, one of their peers announced the pronouns they prefer to be addressed as, they or them. One of the alleged incidents Braden and the others were supposedly involved in happened in April.
She had been screaming at one of Braden's friends to use proper pronouns, calling him profanity, and this friend is, you know, very soft-spoken and kind of just sunk down into his chair. And Braden finally came up defending him, saying he doesn't have to use proper pronouns. It's his constitutional right to not use. You can't make him say things.
Some might say or think that you or your son are against the LGBTQ plus community.
Not at all. Not at all. My children have been raised to love everybody equally.
Shortly after finding out her son was being investigated, Rosemary reached out to Will.
Title IX sexual harassment typically covers things like rape, dating violence, quid pro quo sexual favors, right? Really egregious stuff. There's nothing even remotely close to that alleged in this case.
Will says the school district's policy doesn't cover the misuse of pronouns, and neither does Title IX.
Oh, man. Hold up, man. I got to take a drink on this one. Let me soak this one up, man. I mean, this is... I want to laugh, but... because it's ridiculously funny to me, but it's not. First of all, the parent saying that using pronouns has nothing to do with sexual harassment. It doesn't. What does that got to do with sexual harassment? Not a motherfucking thing. So let's get in that first of all. This is my issue, okay? Another thing is, what does using pronouns have to do with the LGBT community? It has nothing to do with being transgender. Because the pronouns they wanted them to use is them or they. First of all, this is my issue with people wanting to force people to use pronouns that say them or they. You don't get to force us to talk like illiterate, stupid motherfuckers just because you want to feel better. For tens of thousands of years, we have never called one single person them or they. You know what we call them or they? Two or more. That's the problem. That's the thing. This is the problem, man. You jackasses and morons are just making this shit up as you go along. And you don't get to just make this shit up as you go along. And you don't get to redefine words to fit your feelings. We've defined what them or they is. That's already been defined. You don't get to redefine that. Man has already defined that. Them or they is two or more. And you don't get to force anybody on this planet to have to speak, purposely speak illiterate just so you can feel better. And pronouns have nothing to do with sexual harassment. It's not sexual harassment because them or they is not a sex anyways, you freaking jackasses or morons. And if you're saying it is, once again, you're just making shit up as you go along. And I'm not converting or to, you don't get to convert me to follow and believe shit as you make it up as you go along. You know, I'm sorry. Y'all want to make shit up as you go along, that's on you. But you don't get to force the rest of the world to have to convert to it and believe it's true when it's not. Like, this, I'm going to tell you right now, this pronoun thing is going to open up a rabbit's hole in a Pandora's box that y'all not going to be able to close. Because if y'all want to force people to call people by specific pronouns they want to be called by, y'all ain't going to like my pronouns. And if we're going to start locking people up and punishing people for not using pronouns and calling it sexual harassment when it's not, it has nothing to do with them or they, has nothing to do with sex. It has nothing to do with LGBT community. Has not, just because they're the only ones at the forefront of this ignorance doesn't mean it has anything to do with them. It has nothing to do with gender or sex or being gay or being non-binary. Them or they is how we address people based on plural or singular. I mean, like, that's common sense. That's common knowledge, you know? That's another thing. You don't get to make me be dumb, purposely dumb, and purposely stupid, and purposely ignorant just to make you feel better. Hell to the no. Screw your feelings if that's the case. If I have to talk like an idiot, I have to talk ignorant, talk like a moron, a jackass with no common sense. This is the Common Sense Podcast, not the Jackass and Moron Podcast. So if I got to talk like a jackass and a moron to make somebody feel better, then stay the fuck away from me. Fuck you and fuck your feelings. Stay far away from me because I'm not going to talk like a complete idiot, like an illiterate, like an ignorant, moron, jackass, stupid motherfucker just to make you feel better. That's all this is. This is people wanting people to sound like illiterate idiots with no common sense whatsoever that don't even know definitions of words, don't know the difference between singular and plural, just to make them feel better. No, don't come out the house then. Stay your ass in the house. Don't ever fucking come out, man. Because nobody's job is to sound stupid and talk literate to make you feel better. It's not their responsibility. It's not their job. Nobody in society should have to ever do that, should have to dumb themselves down just to make you feel better. Screw that, man. Screw that. That shit pisses me off, really, to think about it. And another thing is once again, okay, yeah, you got the freedom of speech to say, hey, this is my pronouns. But I got the freedom of speech to say, fuck you. I ain't calling you by your fucking pronouns. How about that? See, that's the thing, man. Y'all want freedom of speech to only go one way. Y'all only want equality to go one way. Y'all want all these things to go one way. One way. It's like something I seen in sports the other day. I think it's the NFL was 80% black. Players are 80% black. So they're saying there's no equality in the coaching. Well, it sounds more like to me that y'all just don't want white people in the NFL. Y'all don't want white coaches. Y'all don't want white people in any kind of position of power whatsoever. And there's always going to be people white in position of power. This country is predominantly white. Until that's the thing people don't realize. You have to look at the population. The majority of the population is white. It's white. And the majority population usually dominates. That's just common sense and common knowledge. But guess what? It's not dominating in the NFL. You know, there's teams that didn't even draft not one single white player this year. 11, 12 picks didn't even draft one single white player. That doesn't sound like equality. That only sounds like people that just want equality of outcome. You know, and that's what these pronoun people, that's all they want. They want equality of outcome. They don't want equality. You know, they want to force me to sound stupid and talk illiterate so they could feel better. Where's the equality in that? All right, let me get into this other one. And
another let's talk about this because I think yes and no. This is kind of where I lose their plot line a little bit. So if you have some more insight into this, I think it would be great to hear it. But here's the thing. Yes, I absolutely do believe that this is in large part about white supremacy and wanting more white babies to be born so that white people can preserve their majority. The problem is it's not going to do that because this is disproportionately going to affect brown and black women who are less likely to have the resources to travel to other states or to other countries to get the medical care that they need. And thus, more black and brown women are going to be forced to give birth that don't want to give birth. And that's going to entrap more black and brown people into foster care because black and brown babies are harder to get adopted. There are absolutely white women and white families out there that want to adopt black and brown babies for the virtue signaling and the white savior complex. But most of them are going to wind up in foster care, which I guess then would mean that more white babies for the white families to adopt and more black and brown babies to entrap in poverty so that they can be abused for their labor later in life, I'm guessing. But,
okay, I only believe with one thing she said. I only agree with one thing she said. There is white families out there that adopt black kids just to look like, just try to make themselves look like they're not racist or, you know. But I talked about this the other day on one of my podcasts. Abortion is an issue in the black community. Like, so this lady, like, when I hear this, like, I think this lady is borderline racist. Do you know 4 out of every 10 women in the black community that get pregnant are aborting their babies? That's an issue. That's a problem, killing off the black kids. And then she talks about white supremacy. Well, first of all, if anybody has to get an abortion out of state, that's harder on anybody. See, when people say this, it's always harder on black people. It's always harder on... All you're really saying is you're a racist person that believes black people are not smart enough or have enough willpower to do things on their own, that they can't stand on their own 2 feet, that they can't get themselves out of poverty, that black people just can't get themselves out of poverty because they're hopeless. That's what's racist about this. And that's coming from somebody, and this is fact. Like, you, I have no white friends. All my friends are black, and they agree with 99% of what I say. Like, I talked to my friend, came over the other day. We're talking about the Moors, how the Moors are the ones who educated the white Europeans on proper etiquette and a lot of other things. Europeans were some dirty, unetiquette, uncivilized people before the Moors. See, like, there's always been this false narrative put out there that the white man is superior to the black man. Well, part of the problem is that black people fall in line and believe that horse shit, and white people fall in line and believe that horse shit. Now, how is the white man superior when, look at, let's take Romans, for example. Romans. Yeah, they damn near conquered most of the world, but no army is conquering most of the world without a ton of food and being fed. And who fed the Roman armies? Let's go back into history and let's find out who fed the Roman armies. Africans, Egyptians. Now let's think about this. If I'm a black man and you're a white man and I'm feeding you, I provide your food, all your food. How are you superior over me? I could just stop feeding you. You just die from starvation. Or you have to go kill for your food or something. You have to do something or you'll just starve. But this idea that I feed you and you're superior over me is bullshit. That's the thing. Nobody is superior over nobody. Nobody is superior over nobody. And we're all definitely not equal individually. Because if we were, I would be 6'9", 250, 260 pounds like LeBron James. But I'm not. I'm 5'4", 155 soaking wet. So that's a problem already, is that lady is so racist. Because she's fallen into this idea, this mindset that black people are helpless. They can't stand on their own two feet, that they can't do for themselves. And that's horseshit. All my black friends are very well off, self-employed, independent people. One of them owns a studio downtown and makes really, really good living. I have another friend that works these jobs where he goes out of town and he makes crazy buku dollars for working jobs with like people on strike and stuff like that. They'll pay his flight, his hotels, his per diem per day, and they'll pay him more than they pay the people that are going on strike. You know, I got another friend that's just very well off, very self-employed, does real estate on the side as well. All my friends are very smart, intelligent brothers. Very smart, positive, intelligent brothers. And that's another thing. People have put this perception out there that all black people are criminals or dumb or no, man. You know how many brothers I look up to? Jay-Z, man. Diddy, 50 Cent, Dr. Dre, Drake. I mean, there's so many African-American brothers I look up to and I admire and I respect. If I had to pick anybody to be my number one president in the United States, it would be an African-American actor named Denzel Washington, the guy that I strongly believe, I agree with and believe 100% on his views on race relations. Denzel's mindset, it starts in the home, man. Once again, 4 out of every 10 black women are aborting their babies. That means like no family, a lot of family structure is being destroyed. You know? Like, every kid needs a mother and a father. Because this is the thing about being kids. A woman can't teach a boy how to be a man. And a man can't teach a girl how to be a woman. And that it's called daddy's little girl and mama's boy for a reason. They need both parents. Both parents. The first time I ever seen a cross-dresser or transsexual or transgender person in person was somebody I'd known as a kid most of his life. And I made music with his brother. And yes, they are African American. And when I met him, his mom was dating another woman who looked more manly than me. And he had no father figure in the household, and he ended up becoming a transgender. His brother wasn't like that. His other brother wasn't like that. But they didn't have two mothers and no father figure. They had a father figure at some point. He had no father figure. So he had, a woman cannot teach a boy how to become a man. And that's, to me, that's all I saw when I saw him as a transgender or a transsexual or cross-dresser, whatever he was labeling himself as. That's all I took from it, is that he had no father figure. He had two moms, and that's why he turned out this way. Because he wasn't like that for most of his life. It just all of a sudden, you know. And I don't hate the kid for it. I don't have no phobia of him, because I don't fear no man or no woman on this earth. Unless you can hit me harder than a car hit me, you know. I'm sorry. I don't fear no man. I don't have no phobias or no fear of no people, no transgenders or homosexuals or lesbians or whatever, man. You know, I just ain't gonna be hanging out with you because we don't got a lot in common. If we don't have nothing in common, why would I hang out with anybody I have nothing in common with? That just makes no sense to me. You don't hang out with people you have nothing in common with. That makes no sense. But I don't hate them. I don't hate nobody I don't know. If I don't know you as a person, I don't hate you. But, you know, these people out here with these crazy views trying to force them on people, man, you don't get to do that. And this lady, that just doesn't make sense to me. Because anybody has to go out of state to get abortion, it's going to be harder on them. Black, white, Hispanic, green, purple, blue, or orange. And let's stop acting like the black community isn't the highest percentage of abortions anyways. We need to lower that. We need to get that down. We don't need 40% of women in the black community aborting the kids. How does that help the black community if you're killing off 40% of the babies? How does that help? To me, this lady sounds like the white supremacist, like she wants more black babies killed. That's what it sounds like to me. She wants more black babies killed. I want to see less killed, not more. So who's more racist? Am I the racist because I want to see less black kids killed? Or is she the racist because she wants to see more killed? And how can you be pro-abortion and be pro-black at the same time when abortion is one of the biggest issues in the black community? 40% of babies in the black community being killed compared to 20% Hispanics, because Hispanics care more about family structure, having a man and a woman. And that's another thing, like, a lot of women, not just black women, but a lot of women have chose welfare. White women, black women have chose welfare over a man. And I hate to tell y'all, ladies, but welfare can't do for you what a man can do for you. It can't make up for the lack of a man. I'm going to tell you that much. It cannot. Welfare can't raise your kids like a good man can raise your kids. Welfare isn't going to take care of you like a good man could take care of you. Welfare is only going to take care of you up to a certain point. They're already always going to take care of you up to a struggle point. They're never going to take care of you up to a point where you don't struggle. And like, what's the purpose of life if you struggle? Our purpose of life isn't to work every single day just to have to pay bills, just to get by and struggle. That's not the purpose of life. You got to be able to live, man. Enjoy life. I used to be a very depressed individual. My father committed suicide, had the weight of the world on me. And I've discovered that happiness is a choice, and you just got to do things that make you happy, and you got to choose not to stress things that are not worth stressing over. But yeah, abortion, it's a slippery slope, man. Either way you look at it. I know women want to say my body, my choice, but then guess what? That's the problem. Once they throw that in, then you don't get to force a man to be a father once you have the kid. His body, his choice. That's the problem, man. Y'all hypocritical. Y'all, it's double standards. Y'all only want it one way. Y'all don't want it across the board. You know, it's like Jordan Peterson says with the equality in the workplace, like from the feminist aspect of it, women don't want equality in the workplace. They only want equality in certain workplaces, like office workplaces. They don't want equality in the physical labor workplaces, because if that was the case, then half of nurses need to become bricklayers, because 99.9% of bricklayers are men. Women don't want equality in bricklaying and garbage and construction and lawn care. They don't want equality in those jobs. They only want equality in the office jobs where they just sit behind a desk all day and do much of nothing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I sit behind a desk all day. And that's why it's called work smarter, not harder. At this point, I don't work as hard as I did. I used to walk 2 miles to and from a job, a dead-end job. 2 miles to, 2 miles back from a dead-end job that was going to get me nowhere. But I always knew what I was working for. I wasn't working for a paycheck. I was working to invest my money into something bigger than me. But, yeah, the pronoun thing, tell you, it's a Pandora's box that y'all opening. And nobody is even going, how can anybody know a complete stranger's pronouns anyways? And if I got to know a complete stranger's pronouns, then everybody stay the hell away from me that wants to be called by their pronouns. Matter of fact, anybody wants to be called by pronouns, stay far away from me. I don't want nothing to do with anybody that wants to force me to call them by pronouns, especially if it's them or they. Stay far away from me. Don't even speak to me, because I'm going to look at you like you're dumber than a bag of bricks. You try to tell me to call you them or they. One person? Nah, you better be in a group. Better be a group of y'all walking it before I do that. And this white lady talking about her abortion bullshit, talking about, oh, it's going to make it harder for black women to abort. We need to make it harder, because it's 40%. It's the highest percentage of abortions out of all races. 4 out of every 10 black kids is being killed. And if y'all don't think that's a problem, then y'all some racist, y'all the racist motherfuckers. I hope y'all know that. If you don't think killing off 40% of the black babies is a problem, then y'all the racist motherfuckers. Not everybody else. I can tell you that much. All right, we're going to hit you with a commercial. And we're out. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. This is going to be episode 144. Good. This your boy, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and more. Please check me out 3 to 4 days a week on my video podcast on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Rumble. And check out the audio version on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much more. Peace. See you there. That's right. Hopefully, I do see y'all there. Anybody who tuned in, once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. This is episode 143, Paul Pickett Podcast. aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, and more. Peace, and I'm out.